people to lead, and it was exciting to see how God worked in our lives, how God worked through us in other people's lives, and how God used the Dominicans and their ministry to work and teach us so many things. It was a fun team to lead. One of the unique things is that, of course, they're hard workers. It's the culture of the church here. And so they worked really hard, and the Dominican staff were excited about what they saw happening. But then they commented on the other end, as we were out in the village setting up the chapel or in the neighboring area setting up a chapel, they commented and said, we haven't had a group all summer that's engaged the locals as you guys have engaged and ministered to the people while you were working, which was exciting to see. Not just that we worked hard, but that God used us in individual people's lives while we were there. I'm going to ask Zane, Jacob, and Rob to come up and have a couple questions. They're going to share a little bit. Don't leave all of you. Why not, right? They're going to come up here so everybody can see them. And I have a couple questions I'm going to ask them just so that you can get other people's perspectives on the trip. So we're going to start with Zane. And Zane is kind of known as the puppet master. He kind of started that role 4 years ago and has continued it. But what do you love about puppets and ministering to children?
Well, that says it all right there, because we get to work with the kids. I love working with kids. And as you know, the skits and the music there, you know, the older kids and the adults can kind of understand what that means. But then the puppets is where the kids get involved in all that. And that's the other half of the community, basically, because there were a lot of the time just as many kids as there were adults. And once we got them engaged in our ministry, we actually let them drive some screws and pound some nails into the chapel and all that. And it was the way to get them involved into building the chapel once we got them involved in our ministry. And I thought that was really cool.
That is awesome. And Zane is actually the only returning youth who went 4 years ago and went back. And so what was your second experience like?
It was amazing. Actually, my favorite thing of going back was getting to see some of the time staff that we saw 4 years ago. The biggest thing I noticed, 4 years ago, there was a guy, his name was Arhanius. He was a pastor in training, and he would get up early in the morning, walk several miles to get to the time center, help us that day, and then that night go out to different churches and pastor there and then go home. But then now, when we just went, on Sunday, we actually went to his church. He has a church now. He has a new daughter also. So it was really cool to see the time staff's advancement in their lives and in their ability to serve God. That was really cool.
That's cool. All right, Rob. Rob and Leanne were brave enough to share their testimony in Spanish while we were there. So it's hard enough to share it in English sometimes, but they shared in Spanish, which was definitely outside of their normal experience. And what was your experience in stepping out in faith in this way?
It was interesting having to prepare up front, trying to think through what would actually minister and reach to the people we're talking about, not knowing who we would be talking to. So just praying a lot and really trying to let the Lord guide that. But then actually standing up and trying to give a testimony in a language that I don't really speak. I took high school, so I could pronounce it. Stuff would come back. But where I was basically reading off a sheet, trying to, spending really all my energy focusing on trying to say it, pronounce it in a way that hopefully they'd be able to understand. Looking at the paper, not looking at the audience. And so a very different way of presenting and really just having to give it all to God to say, okay, I'm just up here saying something. You're going to have to use it. And in many cases, I wasn't even able to see what the response was. Sometimes just because it was dark and I couldn't see out, mostly because I was focusing on that. And so afterwards, hearing what other people on the team were able to say as far as whether people were responding, understanding, and I think most cases they were. So it was very much just kind of stepping out and leaving it to God and not even knowing sometimes what the response was going to be. But very exciting. Say one other thing. I was able to give my testimony four times, and two of those times there were either time or other staff at the church that were ready to interpret for us. And I could say, well, I'm actually going to read it. And they'd kind of like, oh, really? Okay. They didn't expect us to actually try to do it in Spanish. And so I think that was kind of fun as well to see something a little outside of their expectations. And I think the Lord really used it.
It is kind of funny. At Arrhenius' church, the interpreter was trying to figure out whether or not he should interpret back to English. he didn't, but several people had the opportunity to be there with their kids, and Rob had that experience as well. What were the benefits of going with your two sons?
I think the main benefits were to me, in that while we were down there, I didn't actually interact that much with Bobby and Daniel in many respects. When we were working in the mornings, they were off doing their things. I was off doing other things. On the ministries, we were on different teams, and so we didn't interact in that way. And so it was much more the opportunity for me to see them ministering and working and taking leadership and working in teams, more so than me doing anything with them. And so the benefit was, I think, mainly for me. They may have had some benefit in that they knew I was around, but they didn't have to do much. They didn't count on me to do much for them. But I was very privileged. I really enjoyed being able to see them work, to interact, both with our team, with the other teams that are there to minister, and then with the Dominicans, and just to see how the Lord used them and, I think, encouraged them. And so, again, I was glad to go and just see what they did.
All right. Jacob, in what ways did you see God work?
Well, there was many ways, but the first one that I saw was just getting the funds to go, because there was three of us in my family going, and that was a lot of money, but we sent out support letters, and everything came in, and I just thought that was really cool how we always, like, I thought I was going to have to work, like, mow tons of extra yards and do a lot of extra work to get the money, but it just came in.
And while you were there, you also saw God work?
Well, we saw there was a lot of ways, but, like, over in the Dominican Republic, road regulations, it don't really exist. Like, speed limits are, you do, like, twice, and road lanes, and it was just safety that we didn't get hit or hit anyone else with a big bus, except for that fence.
Yeah, oops.
Yeah, and there was just a lot of different ways that we saw them.
All right. Thank you, guys. You know, those were just a little input from three different people. There were 27 of us. God worked in all of our lives in very similar ways and in very different ways. When we were in the airport, one of the airports, I can barely remember which airport, but on the way back, Laura summed up a lot of our experience well. As she talked about God's provision, God's protection, God's power, God's promise, and God's presence. I think I added the presence one, but I think it's a good one. It fits. And really, throughout everything that we did, we really saw God working in these areas in our lives. I would add also to this, we learned about a lot about our relational aspect with God through prayer. Learned a lot of deep lessons about stepping out in faith and living by faith. Learned a lot about the body of Christ and how it functions together. And had a renewed energy and passion for seeing God's name and the message of eternal life shared with all people. You know, a lot of times in our prayer life, it's in our prayer life that we see God's provision, His protection, His power the clearest. You know, sometimes we use the phrase, the power of prayer. Really, it's the power of God who works that we're seeing in those situations. But I want to share with you some of the experiences that we had in the time that we were there, because I think that the experiences that we have had really illustrate God's work, his power, his protection, his provision. While we were there, a central part of what we did, of course, was building of chapels. But why did we build chapels? For God's glory. Why did we build chapels? So that people could hear God's word, so they could believe, so they could be discipled in those places. And so you got a taste, a little taste of some of the drama team's work. You got a little taste of the music group. The music group sang four other songs, all in Spanish. Of course, Rob and Leanne shared testimonies in Spanish. You didn't get to see much from the puppet team other than a couple of them sharing their experience up here. But it was those ministries and connecting with people and going back and connecting with people who he had seen in the past that were significant. We had the opportunity 4 years ago. We finished our chapel early and had the opportunity to build a roof for another chapel. And that's actually, we went there and ministered, I think the third night that we were in the country. As we were there, one of the things that stuck out to me was the body of Christ and how God had really pulled together our team for significant purposes, but he had placed individuals on the team for very specific tasks. That happened throughout our time there. For example, one night we were scratching our head wondering, how to make, X amount of 2x3s into more 2x3s and things like that. We didn't have time to grow trees, but it took some of our engineering-minded people to figure out how to make not enough wood, more than enough wood, so that we could actually build the things that we needed to build. At other times, there was maybe more stressful situations that we were in, and God supplied a little humor from Aaron to lighten things up and help us to relax and to be able to minister and really to refocus on why we were there. But we arrived here under a unique set of circumstances. The first was on the bus ride there. The first is we didn't know how to get there, and so we had to meet somebody that we didn't know to take us where we didn't know how to get to. And God worked those things out. But on the way there, they informed us, by the way, we thought the church would probably have a sound system. But they don't. What can you guys do about that? Well, we didn't know because our puppet shows needed a sound system because all the words were in Spanish. Our dramas, they were put to CD. They were wordless. And so we needed that sound in order to make things happen. And as a part of bringing a team together in the body of Christ, Caleb was one of our musicians that was with us. And he happened to know one of the songs that the skit team was going to do. And he happened to be able to improvise with the others to make the skits happen. And the puppet team had practiced vigorously before we went. And so they were able to be put on the spot and say, hey, guess what? Puppets are singing songs in Spanish tonight. And they were able to make those things happen. And the body of Christ was working together. But not only that, but we saw a very unique, I guess you could say, display of God's power, and that's what he did. He supplied power, more or less. We showed up, and the church was dark. There were some candles burning inside, maybe four spread throughout so that you could see to get in and not trip. But the other thing that we were facing is not only do we not have sound because they don't have a sound system, but people aren't going to be able to see the puppets. They won't be able to see the dramas. They won't be able to see what's happening. And so we didn't know what to do beyond pray. And it was an interesting thing because the pastor led in a couple of hymns, and then he prayed for the service, and he handed the service over to us. And as we were going up, the power for the town came back on. It's a pretty normal thing that power goes off and on in third world countries. And God just showed his sovereignty and his work and his power over all things, even electrical grids, so that his name could go forward. Another opportunity that we had to see God, especially in answered prayer, was on our last day there. We went to the park. It was a little hard maybe to read the captioning before, but they told us at 3 o'clock, the park always has people there. So we'll go at 3 o'clock, and there will be people there to minister to. And you can see in the top corner, maybe it's hard to see, but back under that covered thing, there's one guy in the park. I think he had a friend with him. And so when we went, there's always people there, but nobody was there. And so they said, well, if you turn on the music and the sound system, because we had a sound system that day, people will come. And so we did that, and there was still the guy back there. And so we went out on the street, and we started talking to people, inviting people. And we found, they told us that, well, you won't find any kids around here because the church has a VBS down the street. So they're just not here today. Maybe if you come back later. So we went back, and we decided, you know what? There's a bunch of kids at VBS in the church, and they're hearing God's word. But there's got to be kids somewhere that aren't together hearing God's word right now. So we gathered together in groups and prayed. And when we got done praying, kids started coming. And people started coming. And so we had our opportunity to see God answering prayers in that situation. And the thing was, is we were praying that God would send the right people, the people that needed to hear God's word. And interestingly enough, right as we finished and we're preparing to load up on, preparing to leave the park, the VBS let out and all kinds of kids come running. But they were the kids who were at VBS hearing God's word. And we had the opportunity to share the gospel with the rest of the kids in the area, the kids who needed to hear the message of eternal life. Also, we had another power struggle in the park because the sound system was, you plug it in, you charge it, the battery charges. And so as we were winding down, and John Carlos, one of the interns there, was preparing to share the gospel, the sound system started to go out. And so you couldn't hear him. And so I know I began praying, and I'm sure others, that God would provide just what was needed so that the people could hear the message. And so although the sound system after that, it came back on and it glitched a few more times, but as John Carlos was sharing the message of eternal life, the people were able to hear. You know, Jacob shared a little earlier about God's provision in finances, how there were many families going, how can God provide? Or maybe they weren't asking that. They knew he could, but will he provide for me maybe or whatever? And we saw God providing above and beyond and in ways that were exciting because as it went above and beyond, it allowed the building of the second church. We saw him also protecting us. There's a picture of an infamous saw, I think, on there. This saw likes fingers. But it didn't eat any. But it did. It did chew on some gloves. We're used to blade breaks on saws and different things like that. And although we saw some cut up gloves, I think the other was maybe a different saw. Everybody has fingers, so we saw God's protection. I had an experience when we were going out to examine a work site where there was me and a couple of time staff and interns, and we were out at night, 9:30, 10 o'clock, with the van lights pointing at this thing, trying to figure out how we could actually build this thing, because after we did the foundation, they decided to add on to the church, and so we were figuring out how we were going to fit it all together the next day, and some people came to protect the property with machetes, and I didn't understand what was going on, because they were all speaking Spanish real fast, and I didn't hear hola, but it may have been there. But God's protection was real, and fortunately, they were there to protect a church, and we were there to build it, and so they were actually excited to see us once we figured out what was really going on. And that was actually, that church site was the second one that we built. We partnered with another church in building it. And it was, there's a picture of some pastors, I believe. These are actually, well, Bruce and I, and then the pastors of that church, Juan Valdez, and the other guy is their youth and worship pastor. The church actually has a women's pastor. They have actually a very large, thriving ministry. They have 70 children in their children's program. And the reality is they have nowhere to meet. They were a church that was developing. They have really close ties with Time Ministry. And Time says, actually, Juan is probably one of their most capable pastors that they've worked with. But as what happens is they'll begin renting in an area, and most of the people that they rent from aren't believers. And so once somebody with a little more money comes along, or, you know, once somebody complains about a church ministry, the churches get evicted, and then they have to try to find a place for the next week. And a lot of times they lose, you know, I mean, if you can imagine us just not meeting here next week, it'd be hard for us to tell everybody, hey, guess what, we're over here, especially when they don't have email necessarily and other tools that they can use. And so we had an opportunity to partner with another church from Florida and work on building this neighborhood church so that this body of believers who's reaching out incredibly in their neighborhood that could continue their work and that they could continue to disciple the people. And as I had said before, that we had a lot of opportunities, even as we were building of this chapel to minister to kids as we were working. And so we took those opportunities as we were working to minister to neighborhood kids, because they're really the ones who are going to be filling the church and who are going to be discipled there. And the following slide shows this church completed. And you can't see the addition that's on the other end there. But really, for me, the most exciting part was being a part of building a church in Bonnie. Bonnie is 2 hours, about 2 hour drive from where we were. We were up. Bonnie's actually a larger city, and we were actually about 15 minutes outside of Bonnie, in a village, much different from here. You can see us here gathered around the foundation before we began working, praying for that community, praying for God's work there. But life is different there than it is here, in the sense that two decades ago, you know, Asylum Springs was known for the fact that we had the most churches per capita. Here we are in a village where there is no church per capita. I mean, there is nowhere that the people have accessible to them that preaches the gospel in this community. And so we go there. In the United States, we're blessed to have opportunities regularly to hear the gospel. Here, we began to minister to people who hadn't had that opportunity before. And I think, as the next slide show, we had opportunities to see lots of kids and do lots of ministry with children. Jackson and Shelby are great at gathering and playing with kids in the community, and our music team and puppet team and all of those ministered to people in this community. And I asked the leadership, the pastor, I said, any of these kids, you know, are they a part of your church? And no, none of them. And the cool thing is that as the dialogue continued, the answer is that Time staff explained things, but they will be now, because there is now a place. And so you have kids who haven't heard the gospel, and we're spending the day with them and sharing with them, and they're even begin helping us to build this thing, who haven't heard the gospel, who have no church accessible, and now they're saying, but now they do, and now they'll come, and people will come, and they'll hear the gospel, and they'll be discipled in this place. God never disappoints, especially when we put ourselves in a position to see him at work. When we step out in faith, he doesn't disappoint. It may look far different than what we expected. And it's difficult for us to live by faith. Oftentimes, it's difficult for me because I lack an understanding of his promise, of his protection, of his presence, of his promises. But we did see the chapel there come to completion. But before that, God showed, it was an amazing thing. Many of you have heard about it, the full rainbow that was around the sun. As we, in the last minutes, as we built this place that would bring the gospel message, you can see it there a little bit. But we completed there, and God will continue to work there. But the question is what is he doing in our own lives? As we return, we were part of connecting the world to Jesus, but what about our homes? What about our community? How is he working in our lives? Last Wednesday night, we were in John 14, and it says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." I don't think it's talking there about a tagline at the end of a prayer of, "In Jesus' name I pray, amen." But asking God for things that will bring him glory, that will bring him honor. In other places in Scripture, it talks and gives us that we need to pray according to his will. And as I was doing some of my debriefing exercises over the last week, a great tool that we had from shorttermmissions.com was the Next Mile. And I've been getting these emails from them that have been challenging me and encouraging me. And I was reading about prayer this week. And in Luke 11, we see the Lord's prayer. It's followed not far behind the 72 having been sent out. And then they come back and they ask him to teach them to pray. But in Matthew 6, when we read a bit of the Lord's Prayer, it starts out, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come." I think we're a few slides down. "And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So as we're praying, as we're stepping out in faith, trusting him for things, it's about his name, praying for his name to be honored, to be glorified, his kingdom, his will. You know, we can't, and nor would we want to, transfer our Dominican experience, you know, Dominican Republic experience back and try to live like that here. But the steps of faith and trusting him that we learned, we can transfer back. Take monumental steps of faith on a trip, but yet sometimes we return and settle into a reality of a comfort-based Christianity. But steps of faith, asking God to guide us so that his name would get glory, his kingdom would be built, his will would be done in our lives and those around us, seems to be the natural step that we should take and that as a church family we should take. The gospel for all people was significant for me. I think it's a slide before this, Bobby. Arrhenius is one of the people who Zane talked about. This is actually his family here. And Arrhenius was the guy who would wake up at 4 years ago. He'd wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, walk to the time site, work with us all day, and then at night, he would either go do evening ministry with us, or he would be going to a church to preach that night, or he'd be taking his classes to become a pastor. And then at 10 o'clock at night, when we all went to bed exhausted, he would have the mile walk home. Or no, the hour walk home, sorry. Many miles to go, get home late at night, and come back. And having the opportunity to see him again, see others like him, like Behemin, and others who were sacrificing greatly so that the people in their country would hear the gospel. It's unique where we would go. I would commonly see the time staff sharing the gospel with people around them. And the encouraging thing is Arrhenius isn't just pastoring a church. They were actually hosting a team from Ohio that week having an English camp in the village that they lived in to be able to outreach to their community. When we went to the church that we built a roof for 4 years ago, at first I got nervous when I went inside because I saw those 5 gallon deals, but the bottom of it cut off upside down to catch rainwater with tubing running out. And I'm like, oh, this roof really wasn't that good that we put on. But then I realized what had really happened. And next to the place where they worship, there's a 2-story addition, and they had to bend up the roof to put their addition on. And then behind it, another 2-story addition. And they're building these things for outreach places, for kids in the community to come after school. And they have different rooms for different age groups to help them with their studies, to share the gospel with the people. They were serious about outreach to their community. Ministering in the park, seeing God bring the right people. The vision for the church in that country as they teach and train people to be pastors really challenged me. And how seriously am I taking connecting the world to Jesus? Or for today, connecting my home, connecting my community to Jesus? Because we're willing to do these things there to share the gospel with people, but oftentimes a little nervous when we're here. So why do we go? And it's that last slide there. We go for his name, for his kingdom, for his will, for his glory. The same as we minister to our neighbors, the same as we minister to our families. The question is, are we willing to live for his name rather than our own interests? His kingdom, his will, and ultimately his glory. We're a little over 5 minutes, so there were other things that I would love to share with you. Talk to some of the people who went on this trip. They would love to share with you their experiences, what God did, how they saw God work.